Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Thank you for joining me at Table Talk today. Today is interesting because I am actually a guest at someone else's table. I am on the road in Lincoln, Nebraska, a guest at the table of my son, Zane.
Hello.
And daughter-in-law, Faith.
Hi.
With their to-be two-month-old tomorrow daughter, Loretta.
Yep. Loretta's in my arms, so if you hear some squirming.
Yeah.
That's her.
So it's a privilege to be here being hosted at their table. And the verses we're going to be looking at today are Isaiah 61, 10, and 11. So I'm going to open us up in prayer. There's a shout out from Loretta. Thank you, Loretta. I'm going to open us up in prayer, and then we're going to get right to the verse. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time and place and this space to sit at the table around your word. I thank you for the blessings of my son and daughter-in-law and granddaughter that are here today to just conversate about your word and your truths. May your Holy Spirit speak to us and reveal what is meant to be revealed to us today. In your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, first of all, before we read through our verses, I just want to ask you all whatever is on your heart to share with us about the idea of being in your first home with your first child. So, just anything you want to share about that experience.
Oh man, that's a lot of pressure. thinking on the spot. I think it's all very exciting, and I feel really blessed that we could buy a home, honestly, pretty young. I think we take for granted that a lot of people can't buy homes right now. It's really, really hard to get into the housing market, and I feel really blessed with a baby. I know a friend that just had a miscarriage, and which is really hard. So I think that's all really beautiful. I think what God has done in our lives is, yeah, really wonderful. I would say, though, you know, having a house is definitely not as hard as having a first baby. We haven't had anything break, which is good. But the baby is amazing, but it is hard being a mom, I think. I think I've maybe even struggled to, I don't know, kind of just being myself. What does me look like now? I don't know. So kind of trying to find my place in that. Zane and I both work in college ministry, and I wasn't on the campus this fall with the fall launch, because I was on maternity leave, still am, which I'm very grateful for, and has been really nice being at home. But, you know, something that I've identified in myself, like, I am a college minister. I disciple young women. You know, unfortunately, I have placed my identity in that, where I know it should be in Jesus. So it's kind of hard to wrap my mind around that and be reminded that that's not actually who I am, but who am I also if I'm not doing that, or if it changes and looks different. So I'm kind of trying to wrestle with that a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. I think the only thing I would add is, you know, there's the classic, you know, everywhere I go, you know, another new dad or an older dad will say, oh, how's fatherhood? You know, it's like the starting conversation. And I just feel like the thing that I keep reminding myself is I feel like it's an invitation from God to grow, but I do feel like at times I wrestle on whether or not I'm going to take up that invitation. Like, you know, daily it's kind of a choice. Like, okay, am I going to go to the, you know, to the place where I'm going to grow and sort of submit myself to that and, you know, see, okay, how does God want me to be selfless? And, or am I going to be like, today I'm going to put that invitation back on the fridge and do my own thing. So that's been hard, but it's been really good as well. Like having that open invitation every day, like here's a kid, here's a house, here's ministry. And are you going to rely on me? If you do, man, how joyful are these gifts going to be to you? If you don't, then I'm going to show you how much you need me, you know? So God's been really, really good to us over the past couple of years. Not everything has been easy on the outside, but I think Faith and I would both agree. He's just been so good to us. And yeah, it is a joy, all things considered.
I think the word that has been sitting with me as a topic of conversation with you all at the table is the word abide. And how that abide, if you just look it up in the Webster's Dictionary, means to dwell, to remain, to live. But if you look at it in its Greek context, it's really to stay, to not depart from, to continue to be present. And so what I hear you both saying is, it is this side of heaven, our daily quest to continue to be present with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to find that how for us, and that when, and that what that we do and where we do it, to spend time with God the who. I mean, I just, that is something, it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, that is something that you're going to have to come to terms with for yourself. What does abiding with God look like for you? And that kind of points us into scripture. So let's go to our verses, Isaiah 61. And if Faith, if you would honor us by reading Isaiah 61:10.
Sure. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels.
Okay, and you weren't that far away from the wedding ceremony that you and Zane joined together in union with. So you remember that idea of decking yourself and getting adorned for what you wanted to look like at your wedding day, and Zane the groom. I mean, I remember being at y'all's ceremony. It was beautiful. It was outside. It was uniquely the two of you. But in this passage, that is the symbolism or the word picture for us of Jesus. Offering an opportunity for either one of you to comment any about what that verse speaks to you.
Well, my first thought, honestly, was that it says he has clothed me. And I think of my little baby, she can't clothe herself.
Yeah,
so I have to clothe her.
That's good.
And so in the same way, our salvation, we can't clothe ourselves. Yeah. Jesus has to clothe us with his salvation. So it's a really kind of, I think my whole worldview has like changed being a mother, you know, thinking about every person I see like in a grocery store, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was like someone's little baby,
yeah,
you know? And so even thinking about that for myself and with God, oh my gosh, I'm like God's little girl.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a little girl and she belongs to God too. I don't know. It's like so sweet and so special, I think, for me to think about that in that way.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, not much to add. I mean, that's immediately where my mind went as well, when it says, wrapped me in a robe of righteousness, just thinking about, you know, wrapping our baby in a swaddle or in her sleep sack. Like, she didn't earn that. Sometimes it feels like she doesn't even want it. But yet, I, as the father, I give it to her. I wrap her in it, and I say, hey, this is what's going to make you safe. And so that's immediately where my thought went, was parents. And yeah, of course, there's that beautiful picture of a wedding too, which was a fun day and good. But yeah, you said it best for sure.
In studying about that garment of salvation and that robe of righteousness, in my study just of concordances, one of the imageries it gave is, you know, in the Old Testament, because this is Isaiah, they were having to bring a animal sacrifice as an offering. And that animal, they even talked about the idea of like skinning it and offering that animal for a sin. And if we look at this, the garment of salvation and that robe of covering is like that is no longer necessary for us to bring an offering and a skin of an animal and that blood sacrifice to cover us, because God sent his son Jesus Christ and he gave his life as that offer of garment of salvation and that robe of righteousness.
Right.
That idea of his protection and his justice, if we simply ask and understand what he's offering and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. All right, Zane, would you honor us by reading Isaiah 61:11?
Absolutely. For as the earth produces its growth, and as a garden enables what is sown to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations.
Any first thoughts in just reading that verse?
Yeah, I just think of, I feel like recently I've been thinking a lot about Genesis, God as a creator, you know, probably because we, with his help, we just created a baby. Mm-hmm. But so I just think of the relation to Genesis here, that when he spoke, you know, things grew and things, you know, sprung up, and that he does that the same with our salvation, that as his word, you know, begins to dwell in our lives, it's like our heart sort of renews, just like the spring. It sort of grows again, alive, you know, and that righteousness and that praise. And so just that imagery of a garden, and things die during the winter, but then the spring season, all this growth and this beauty and this blooming and fruit, and just that God's salvation and his saving power and his righteousness would be like that for us is, I mean, that's hope, you know, that's like, that is good news for our souls and for us. So that's where my mind was sort of going, I guess.
Earlier today, you walked through your kitchen area and you have two cats.
Mm-hmm.
And both cats like clamored to you and meowed and meowed. And your comment was, they forget they only get fed once a day at like 7 at night. And my comment was, that's the true definition of hope.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still clamoring to you with that cry and hope of, is this the time we're fed? And, you know, that's jovial, and we're being very light with that idea.
Mm-hmm.
But that is hope, yeah. That they still come to their master, and they're like, is this the time you're going to bless us? And you're like, no, not today. Doesn't mean they're not going to come again. So that was a word picture to me of our should be perception of God our Father, that we are so abiding in him. We know his voice, and he knows ours, and we have reverence for him as our master. And so we like clamor to him like, and we can put our request, we can cry out to him, we can make known where our true heart is at the moment, our emotions, our mind, and we may not hear from him or get fed from him right immediate, but we know we'll come to him again. And then when he does grace us with whatever blessing it is, or how his spirit will reveal to us, it's just appreciation for it. It is the right time. But we don't give up on when we're not fed right immediately. You know, he's not a magic eight ball. He's not a vending machine God. He's not a genie in a lamp. But it doesn't mean our abiding changes or shifts in any way. Yeah. But I thought that was a beautiful picture with your two cats. They still have hope that it might be the time to be fed. But it isn't.
Yeah, you know, I think about that verse too, and it says the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up. And thinking about abide, I think one of the key things is that, like, we can't, you can't really praise something else if you're so focused on self. Mm. Like, it's really hard to, you know, to give thanks, to rejoice, to praise something external. If you're like, you're so inwardly focused. I think abiding becomes so hard. To dwell somewhere is so hard if you're thinking about, oh, this is what I got to do. You know, it's the story of Jesus and Martha. Mm-hmm. When, you know, she could have abided with Christ and said she's all fixated on all these things that she has to do. And there's other passages that would relate to that as well. But that, you know, that's what made me think of too. It's like, yeah, we really need to abide and to have the Lord cause in us righteousness and praise. We got to kind of get out of the way, you know, and he promises to do that, right? He promises to die for us, but in that we join him in death. Like, you know, the language there is pretty stark. So I was just thinking about that too.
There are seven I am statements that Jesus declares in the word in John. And one of the I am statements is, of course, John 15, verses 1 through 11, when he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. And I am a plant person. So every Saturday is my time that I take my little meter, I read the water in the soil, so I don't water equally each plant. I water by the need of the plant. And then I look at it because I have put in the time and researched. And if there is a part of the plant that is browning or showing evidence of early decay, then you're actually supposed to prune and cut it away so that the plant doesn't over try to give nutrients to what's dying, and it continues to give life and fruit bearing or bloom to what's alive. I've learned about my exterior rose bush that if I dehead it the minute the bloom is going into like a death state, then the overall bush will rapidly produce more blooms. But what I have to honest and vulnerably say is I sometimes push against and often resent in my own life when I am feeling the pruning of God. Mm-hmm. You know, when he is allowing the Spirit to convict me of something or stop me of something and ask me almost to like surrender something. But it is that offer of renewal. Mm-hmm. He's going to do something better for his kingdom through me. But often as humans, we push back against the very thing that he knows is best for us. Mm. We came up this weekend for two reasons. Loretta is getting dedicated at church tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And you are kind of doing a renew to an area in your home. And so if you would speak to a little bit about the process of you being in your home, you've been here over a year, mm-hmm. and you're getting the opportunity to renew another area. But tell us a little bit about what you've done to the whole house.
Well, we have a 3-bedroom, 1-bath. And so just over the course of our time here, well, first of all, I think it's a really lovely old home, mm-hmm. but the previous owners had really bad taste. And so we painted...
Hopefully they're not listening.
the Craigs. Sorry, guys. And
their taste matched a date and time.
Yeah, yeah, they were older and lived here for like 40 years. So really, really crazy. I can't even fathom living in this house
for 40
years.
Props to them. Yeah, yeah.
But so we painted every single wall in this mm-hmm. house, every single wall, mm-hmm. and it looks much better now. Mm-hmm. But now they came up, Paula and Cliff, to paint one of the upstairs bedrooms. One of the rooms upstairs is Loretta's, mm-hmm. and mostly myself, as well as my sisters and a little bit of Zane, helped paint that one, and it's all finished. And we currently have been in the downstairs room, and that worked great for this last year. But I think now that we have a baby, mm-hmm. And we want her to go to her own room, we want her to be out of our room. She's in the bassinet next to our bed. The room upstairs, we felt like it was more convenient to be near her. So they graciously decided to come up and help us paint. Get rid of the nasty, ugly yellow, and it's much better now. And we'll move our furniture up here, probably tomorrow, yes, maybe today.
Yes.
It's looking much better, much better.
So if you look at the definition of renew, and you look at just the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition, it is to make like new, to restore to a freshness, to revive, bring vigor, to make extensive changes, and to grant or obtain an extension of. So, I mean, that's what you all are doing. You have done that to this entire house. If you had seen before pictures, and now you see after pictures, you are making this home that it will never change when it was built. It was built when, Zane?
1900 is what we were told.
Okay.
Yeah, so 1900.
Pretty old.
So you will never change when it was established. But you are making it like new. You are bringing a freshness to it. You have made extensive changes. And if you look at it with the idea of like a home flip makeover, it has revived it.
Mm-hmm.
It has a different vigor. Mm. So if you think about renew in the spiritual slant, that is what God is offering to do for each of us. In our life, we will go through seasons and we will go through significant times that you can then look back on and say, even though maybe I pushed against that, or I was in a drought, or I was in a dilemma, or I was in a stressful quandary because I don't understand the vision that God has, but He was restoring a freshness to me. He was making extensive changes in me to bring me to a vigor. And what I love to think about is if you think about that renew, He's granting us an extension of Himself if we truly abide in Him. And if you think of that, like, okay, we renew our driver's license, or I need to renew a library book. Someone is granting you the ability to extend what you have.
Right.
And like Zane earlier, just in conversation here in the living room, we were talking about grace, mm-hmm. what grace is. And so I think about if I don't abide as closely as I humanly can with Him, how am I going to be available to be renewed by Him,
mm-hmm.
and to obtain that extension of His promises? I'm either going to overlook it. It's going to happen. I'm going to overlook it and I'm going to miss it, because I can't stop Him from doing what He's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be in relationship with Him so closely that I see Him at work, and that I am giving Him glory, honor, and praise, and that I'm appreciative of the ability to be an extension of Christ.
Right. Mm. Yeah, that's good. One of the best pictures of renewal, I feel like, that I sort of recall with the house thing, with library cards, and obviously thinking about Gramps.
Yeah.
Who is my grandfather, my dad's dad, who passed away not too long ago. He was in forestry. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was a kid, I had always thought of forest fires as being something that was bad. And I remember there was some conversation where he was talking about doing a controlled mm-hmm. burn of the forest. And I remember as a kid going, Gramps, why would you, Smokey the Bear. I was like, what?
And he's starting the fire.
Gramps is burning the forest. I was like, why are you burning the forest? And I remember he told me, you know, and he's such a sweet, you know, gentle spirit. And he just told me, like, you know, Zane, like, when we burn that forest, it kills all the undergrowth, all the weeds, all the things that are destroying those trees. And it allows, like, the forest to thrive and you know, be rich again and be beautiful. And for, you know, I'm taking care of it. And I was like, what? That was crazy. And so I'd be like, that's a good picture of renewing that forest that maybe is scary. Mm. Like, I don't know if I want God to sort of burn through me, but isn't that so biblical, right? That he would consume us, like, mm-hmm. and that is so good for us. And renew, like, what, just like what you're saying, would renew our hope in him, would renew and his mercy and his grace, like you say, it never runs out, but our perception of it is maybe renewed. It's fresh every morning. So that's some of the places my mind was mm-hmm. going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thinking about renewal.
I think one of the verses that is most often coming to mind is the Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and right. renew a right spirit within me. But sometimes it's more of a refrigerator magnet than it is a knees on the ground mm-hmm. prayer.
Right.
Because when we really openly ask him, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, he's going to bring to mind any area of conviction mm. that he needs to burn through mm-hmm. us, just like your analogy with the forest. Mm. What we're asking him to do is burn through the overgrowth, mm-hmm. the rubble, the things we've allowed in that he's like, no, mm. no, 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 no. There's no place for that here. That there's no place in your life for that. That does not resemble my son, mm. Jesus. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the old, you got to be careful what you ask for. If we need to remain in that spirit of ask, kind of like the First Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. But sometimes we want to put parameters on, well, speak this way mm. or speak in this area of question I have, but don't really just give him a free rein to speak. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a time in y'all's life, either as individuals or as a couple, where you have felt him like move or ebb or flow or position you or change you to maybe where you didn't see what he had for you, but now looking back at it, you can say, oh, I see what you did there. I can definitely think of, like, I call them Ebenezers. I can definitely think of times like that in my own life.
Hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there's plenty if I were to really sit down and get out a journal and write them down, which would maybe be good, a good thing to do.
I remember one thing. I remember, like, y'all's hop skip to Dallas.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Hard season, not knowing what to do. We were feeling like God was maybe calling us into ministry or, you know, wanting to be in ministry. And so we moved there. It's a hard season. Things weren't working out as we planned or thought, expected. COVID hit. But all of that led us to where we currently are now, doing college ministry, the campus of Nebraska.
And the name of the church, which kind of fits the verse 61:11. What's the name of the church you're at?
Oh, yeah. So we work for, Sower Church.
And the idea mm-hmm. of the garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very Nebraskan too.
Yeah, it's going to say on the Capitol. What's on the top of the Capitol building?
Top of the Capitol in Lincoln is a sower.
Yeah. Agriculture.
Used to be, yeah, yes, agricultural yes. state. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, it is cool.
I feel like sometimes it's hard to look back at your life and, like, because when I think about Dallas and other things in my life, I know that God was teaching me something, mm-hmm. but I don't know if I can always pinpoint. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. I think we think that God is teaching us like something big, and sometimes it's many small things, mm-hmm. or he's renewing many small things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they can be really big, and there's like a theme in your life, and oh, it keeps popping back up. But I don't know if I can say that Dallas was like a big hit me over the head with this idea of something, but. Maybe just maybe learning some reliance mm-hmm. On him. There were a lot of close calls with buying groceries mm-hmm. and how do we move back up home to Lincoln. It was really lonely. So, you know, kind of growing in community, relying on others, trying to remember who is our source of life, you know, mm-hmm. but it's kind of hard to pinpoint sometimes those lessons, but I know that he has taught me a lot, so maybe it would be a good idea to journal about it or something, like Zane said.
I am a big journaler because when I'm in it, I want to almost like word vomit. Because I know he knows what I'm thinking. So there's nothing wrong with expressing it and getting it out. So that's where I can like question him reverently and respectfully. Like I can really say, you know, like, what's going on here? This is how I'm feeling. I'm going to give you those emotions and allow you to do what you need to me through them. Mm-hmm. In fact, I can remember I had received I knew it was a declaration of you are ending your career and you're moving up to Northwest Arkansas to watch your grandson. I knew I'd heard that. But then, you know, COVID hit and mm-hmm. I was isolated at the house with my mm-hmm. daughter and son, all which I love. And now they're back in my house as they finish building theirs. But I remember you actually called saying to check in on me. And I don't think I was in a real healthy headspace. And I was kind of vulnerably okay to tell Zane where I was at this moment. Like he asked me to give up everything, kind of what you were saying earlier, Faith. Like that was my identity. Mm. And I was good at it and I was pouring into people and it was like natural and I loved it. And so I knew he'd said, that's enough of that. And I want you to do this. But I hadn't received a new purpose mm-hmm. other than keeping a human mm-hmm. vitally alive, which mm-hmm. now that is purpose. Don't mm-hmm. hear me wrong.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes feels insignificant.
Yeah, because it's an unseen. You're right.
Yeah.
And I was just like, not that this isn't an amazing blessing that the average person never gets to do, mm-hmm. but like, this is it. Mm. And I remember talking to Zane and he was, I knew he must have realized, okay, mom. And I remember him saying like, well, are you angry with God? And I'm like, yeah, I think I am. And he's like, have you told him? And I'm like, tell him I'm angry. Like, I almost didn't feel permission mm-hmm. to do that. Mm-hmm. And like, we hope you feel like you're at the table with us right now, but we don't know where you are right now. Mm-hmm. We don't know if you're angry, if you're depressed, if you're sad, if you're forlorn, if it's a health scare. You know, we don't know where you are mm-hmm. right now at this moment. But the permission Zane gave me to, well, tell him. Tell him you're angry, and I thought to myself, why would I do that? And Zane even said, because he already knows. Mm-hmm. He already knows you're there. Tell him, and then basically confess and let it go, and let him bring you a new emotion. Mm-hmm. And so I remember I journaled, you know, like I'm angry because I'm just so not sure of what's going on here. Like I can't see the future. Mm. And that's when I realized your future's not promised.
Mm. You know, something that just came to my mind about our house And I think the connection with, you know, your job, when we were moving to Dallas, it was for ministry. Yes. And even me being a mom and trying to figure out our identity with, yes, within that. I think sometimes we want God to just like paint us and like make us look nice, mm-hmm, and like renew us like on a surface level, mm-hmm, but really actually one of the first things we did on our house was we put beams in, mm-hmm, the basement with the, mm-hmm, foundation, and we changed the HVAC system. When we invite people to our home, mm-hmm, no one sees those. No one will know that the value of our house hopefully went up because we put those new things in. But those are essential to making a house like healthy and safe to live in. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes God does that with us, mm-hmm, too. Like we just want our circumstances to change. We want them to get better. We want a nice fresh coat of paint. But what God really needs to do is do something internally with us. And, mm-hmm, I know that's what God was doing in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's what, mm-hmm, God is doing now, mm-hmm, when we have a baby. Even though our circumstances have changed because we have a baby now, really he wants to do something on the inside, mm-hmm, that maybe people won't see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's realign so the foundation. Mm-hmm. I mean, that, yeah, that's so good.
That is so good. I have read, and I can't give credit to who I read who said this, so often God doesn't change the circumstance because he's trying to change us in it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So exactly what you said, Faith. That's so good. But like you're saying, I'm ready to like go help you move your furniture, mm-hmm, and let you decorate this new, right, space, mm-hmm, where people are going to walk up and go, oh, this is amazing, mm-hmm, because it was mustard diarrhea and now it's beautiful and you have such a good eye. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
that's what,
right,
you want.
Yeah, it's like let's put up the, mm-hmm, sconces and move all your,
but
pictures.
Then when you move, yeah, you take the furniture with you. Yeah. But people are buying the house because of the foundation, yeah, and the, yeah, HVAC and the roof, yeah, and the blah blah blah.
That, know, is so good. So that leads me to a question that we can give our two cents on, and then I really hope this is something that you as listeners sit in for the next week of what this question brings up with conviction, or what is your call to seek the Holy Spirit in. But with all that we've been talking about abiding and renewal, my question is, how are the motions of your soul in relationship with your God? Because to abide takes effort on our part, and to be renewed takes acceptance of the effort on his part. Mm-hmm. So where I sit in is then, what am I doing? What are the motions of my soul, mm-hmm, in relationship to my God in that area of abiding and renewing? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you can give any words of wisdom for what people can take as just for steps or just vulnerability about yourself.
Yeah, I think I can try to take a stab at it. I think, man, it's so difficult. I think for a long time, especially before having a kid, my life felt somewhat separated between the sacred and the sort of, I guess, mundane, mm-hmm, or something, mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. And so it felt like, oh, if I'm having a quiet time, I'm with God. But if I'm doing the dishes, I'm not. Mm. And I think God's trying to teach me that line is, it should be blurry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that doing the dishes can be just as sacred as going on a prayer walk. Mm-hmm. Or being with my family, holding my baby, you know, giving her a bath, trying to be present, like that can be a spiritual activity if I invite God into it. Mm-hmm. I still need to get in the Word because that's going to inform that with me, right? But maybe my time in the Word right now, for me, honestly, my soul, it might look like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Or like it might look like Faith knows, I've been trying to like listen to the Bible while, mm-hmm, I take a shower or like, mm-hmm, you know, things like that. It might be shorter because that's just my season of life right now. But that's going to then help me throughout the day see the mundane as he's with me. And then just giving myself permission. You know, one of the books in the Bible that I maybe appreciate the most, while it can be hard to read, is Lamentations, because of just what you said. Like, it's a whole book of the Bible where God gives permission to his people to lament, essentially yell at him. What are you doing, God? Why are you here? This is hard. And it doesn't end happy. It's not a Disney movie at the end.
Yeah.
But it's in our scriptures, because this is the relationship God wants us to have with him, that we can bring everything to him. He cares about our whole life, not just the moments that we're at church, not just the moments where we're praying before dinner, not just the moments where we have everything cleaned up and good. It's like, it's every day. He wants our whole life, our whole being, our whole attention. But that doesn't mean he doesn't want us to, we're not a monk either. You know, he wants us to do our jobs, care for people, be a part of our family, do these things, be neighbors. So I don't know. There's not a clear answer in there, but maybe that's just where I'm at, to be honest.
I feel like that's what I've picked up from a lot of stay-at-home moms who have discipled me, or I've just kind of observed, is they have learned how to do that really well, of being in their home all day with their kids, in the stressors of it, in the mundane, and they're finding ways to be creative about spending time in the Word. Maybe they listen to it. That's what Brittany, my mentor, just told me. She said that, why don't you like listen to the Bible while you nurse her?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that's really cool, being a woman and having a lot of really good examples of women in my life that have done the mundane life, because having a kid, you do the same things over and over. So I think that is really good.
And God's blessing of community, you know, that we are not doing life alone in the different seasons we're in them.
Yeah.
One of the things, a while back, my oldest daughter, Hillary, that you all heard from in the beginning of the podcasts, she had, been able to learn and be a part of breath prayers. Mm-hmm. And she had told me about those, and it was the first I'd really ever been exposed to them. So I started looking to see what that would mean for me and how I could apply that to my life. And so, for example, in those seven I am declarations that Jesus gave us, you can read through those, or any verse really, and take a verse you feel the Spirit is speaking to you out of, or just that's gripped you differently maybe, and just make that into a form of a prayer. Mm. And it's just, as you go throughout the day or the week, just meditate on it in the mundane, in the real life. And it's not having a devotion necessarily. It's not getting out Strong's Concordance and commentaries. Mm-hmm. But it is breathing in with that thought. Like for the one we did today, as you breathe in your mind, you would be thinking, you are the true vine as you inhale, and I am a branch as you exhale. Mm-hmm. So in, I am the true vine. Out, I am a branch. And just that idea that you're in that constant headspace, heart space of communing with him in his word. And that might be what you need at that moment with a coworker or with a spouse or with a difficult situation, just to be that he is your source of life, that you can do this, that continuance of being present, like that word abide says, just be present with me and be present in my word. So I do agree that you have to look at your season and what you feel is glorifying to him, so that we can have that overwhelming joy, that others can see that overflow in us and realize it's not us, but it is something that we have tapped into as our strength. And the John 15, I'm going to end with 10 and 11, is if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Mm. And that's our whole goal. That's the whole name of this podcast, Overwhelming Joy. Mm-hmm. What is it that my soul can do in communion with my Lord and Savior so that I have the promised joy? Not happy. You know, there's a huge difference between happy and joy. Mm-hmm. But I guess what I want to say to you all today is, if your joy is not full, that is something that God is offering you. Mm. He is offering you his joy. Mm. And it's beautiful. Your situation may not be, but your provider always is. Mm. Anything else you all want to say as a last shout out before we wrap it up?
I would say, you know, we were kind of all circling around the idea of meditating on God's word. Mm-hmm. Meditation is a spiritual discipline. And so don't get too discouraged if it's hard.
Yeah.
Because you have to grow in that discipline. So start out small and it will grow. It's kind of like learning to run or jog.
Yeah.
Your heart and your lungs get bigger and it has a better capacity for that kind of exercise. And I think we're the same with the spiritual disciplines, even reading your Bible, mm-hmm. even praying, mm-hmm. meditating is similar in that way. So.
Yeah. And I would just remind us all that we are abiding in something mm-hmm. and we're trying to be renewed by something. Mm-hmm. You get to choose what that is.
Mm-hmm, that's good.
And so, choose wisely.
That's very good. Well, thank you for letting me be at y'all's table. And I just love y'all so.
Yeah.
So honored and blessed.
Love too.
May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.